Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
What's going on? What's going on, VBF? Somebody said we're the VBFers, and I go, I don't know about that, but we want to welcome you tonight. If you're joining us online or on Facebook, we say hello to you guys, and let us know if you're on Facebook. Let us know. Type in right now where you're watching from. It's always fun to see how many people we have part of our family here in Bakersfield all across the globe. But we wanted to start off with the video tonight because this is actually our last summer Psalm. Okay, so you can read Psalms all year long, but this is our last Wednesday night that we're dedicating to a Psalm. How many of you have enjoyed going through some Psalms over the summertime? You had some good Psalms that we learned together, and Psalm 100 is one of my faves. There's only five verses in here, but there is this appreciation and gratitude and this spirit of gratefulness that comes off of this psalm into our hearts. And one thing I know about us as a culture, we're not as grateful as we should be, right? Are you guys tracking with me on that? And I know Pastor Shane already prayed, and we're going to get into Psalm 100. And what's interesting about Psalm 100, it's about Thanksgiving. And here we are at the end of the summer. And so we're just going to bypass September and October. We're going to go right into November. We're going to just go right into my favorite holiday. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. My family would say it's Christmas, but I like Thanksgiving because I love the food. I love the food. And I'm all about this. So we're gonna just skip September and October. Phooey on Halloween. Phooey on the opening day of football. We're all about Thanksgiving tonight. And so we're gonna think about Thanksgiving. Now, it's not just in Psalm 100. Matter of fact, if you're familiar with Psalms, if you're familiar with the Bible, there are many passages that we could quote here tonight that tell us to be more grateful and thankful in our lives. It's woven through our Bibles. Matter of fact, one of my favorite verses in Psalms about giving thanks is Psalm 136, and it's found in verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what, church? He's good." Touch somebody and say, "God is good." All right. Somebody told me, like, "You can't do that in church anymore. You can't tell people to touch each other." I'm like, "You can in my church. We're going to do that. Just be careful where you touch them. That's all I'm saying, all right? "For he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." So give thanks to God because God is good and his love never ends. And that's just one psalm. We're talking about a lot of different verses in the Bible that talk about being appreciative and being grateful. And one thing you know, whether you're married or not, one thing you know about relationships is that if you have a relationship long enough, at some point in that relationship, you start to feel maybe unappreciated. Have you ever had a relationship in your life where you felt like you were doing all of these things and you were pouring your time and effort and it just, it was almost like that person was taking you for granted? How many have ever been in that space before? And maybe it's even caused a conflict or two because you decided one night you've had enough and you're gonna let them know, "Hey, I don't feel appreciated." And one thing, somebody's like, "Man, did you call the pastor before the church service and tell on me?" Yeah. No, this is all of us. We all have a problem with this. I've been married for 26 years. And I will tell you, yeah, thank you very much. I will tell you, that in those 26 years, there have been seasons where I know I have not appreciated my wife as much as I should have been. Life gets busy, raising kids, working really hard, doing ministry for the Lord, and just neglecting all of these little things that my wife does day in and day out without ever saying anything. And sometimes we tend to take the things that we love the most for granted because they are constants in our life. We start ignoring those things that are in our life that are just always there. And what happens is when you stop appreciating the people in your life, the value of that relationship starts depreciating. And now you have problems. But the same is true for our relationship with God. Think about it. The more you're appreciating God, the more value you're putting in your relationship with God, which is going to help you in your relationship with Him and will help you in your life. It's according to the appreciation that you're giving to God. And as you appreciate God more, your relationship appreciates. If you're here tonight and you feel stuck in a spiritual rut, like I'm not growing like I was. I'm just in this really weird, stale place in my faith. And I'm telling you, the quickest way to start appreciating in your relationship with God is start thanking God more in your life. It's just real simple. Matter of fact, honestly, sometimes as a preacher for all these years, I feel like we just need three messages and we need to put them on repeat. And every 3 weeks, we'll just rotate the playlist. And I really honestly believe if we just preach, love God, love people, be thankful, we would accomplish everything God wants us to accomplish in this life. I mean, think about that. Love God, love people, be thankful. Pretty much, that's how simple it is. And so what happens is we get into these places and spaces and we stop appreciating the constants in our life, and then what happens, we almost kind of move into this entitlement space. Like, of course that's in my life because I deserve this. And so if you don't catch yourself early enough and you don't realize that you're not being grateful enough, you might slip into this entitlement of course that's in my life. I deserve it. Now, as I look at this idea of being grateful, I've got to tell you that people that are grateful are awesome people to be around. Have you ever been around somebody that is just, I mean, think about what, this is five verses, says, enter into the gates with thanksgiving, enter the courts with praise. I mean, it's just like, the psalmist has given us this picture of somebody coming into the church just going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, yeah, I'm in God's house. I mean, you know, some of you know Darren Tripp, you know, like that's kind of like him. I call him the church Tigger, you know, from Winnie the Pooh. You know, Tigger is just like at another level. But here's the psalmist saying, man, there's something about the presence of God. Man, I can't contain myself. I get excited. I get full of joy. Why? Because I'm so grateful for the way that God has moved in my life, how He's moving in my life, and what He's about to do for my life in the future. I can't contain it. It's kind of like this guy, I saw a video, you know these videos that go viral sometimes. I saw this guy, I don't know if he was a dad or just some crazy uncle that got invited to the graduation, but I just saw this guy and I'm like, man, I want to be more like him. Go ahead and watch this.
Chris Sean.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know about you, but I just want to find this guy and hang out with him. Now, some of you are like, no, that's scary. I don't want to be around that guy. People like that energize me. And it's somebody that is just so full of appreciation that they can't contain it. And I believe that as followers of Jesus, I believe that as people that are full of the Spirit of God, we should be the most grateful, excited, joyful people on this planet. I really do. And I know we're not always feeling that way, but there's something to be said for just pausing and being thankful for the things that are right in your life and for the things that you do have in your life that will actually reposition you and realign you. Because we are in an epidemic of people that are just depressed, that just feel like life has forgotten them. And it's because we have so gotten used to being fixated on the negative. And we've gotten stuck in this negativity, and the things that are wrong in our life all of a sudden begin dominating every thought bubble that crosses our mind. The things that we don't have are constantly, we're being constantly reminded about those things on Instagram as we see our friends or other people, strangers, enjoying these things that we don't have in our life. And it creates this discontentment, and then that discontentment turns into this weird envy depression. And it's partly due to the fact that we have forgotten how to be grateful for all the things that are right in our life and all the things that we do have in our life, all the ways that God has already done things for our life, the things that God is currently doing for our life and the things that God is about to do for our life. All of those things, I'm saying to you, make a difference. Because here's the truth. We want to be like that guy in that video, but when you're not grateful, when you're stuck in that negativity, you're the opposite. You're the person that nobody wants to be around. Can I just be honest with you? When you're stuck in that negativity, you're not a person that other people are excited to get around because, see, we absorb our environments, and so people are kind of repulsed by the negativity. They may not even realize that it's your negativity that's kind of pushing them away, but they will actually want to be around somebody that is grateful, somebody that is appreciative. I mean, think about that person, that last person that went out of their way. You maybe did something nice, and they went out of their way, and they wrote you a thank you note, or they went out of their way, and they hugged you, and they just said, "Man, you'll never know what you mean to me. I'm so appreciative of you." Why, you want to be around that kind of person. And this is what the psalmist is declaring to us tonight. Let's read verse 3, because this is really good. It says, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So he's saying, hey, the reason we are to enter into God's house with excitement in our souls is because, number one, I have this little breakdown here. Number one, God created us. He created you. You wouldn't be here without God's touch on your anatomy. It says in the Bible that God holds all things together. That you are a miracle walking this planet. I mean, scientifically, and if we can get into statistics and all of that, I mean, the fact that you're here and that you're breathing and that you're, you know, just alive is just a miracle that you need to appreciate more. I just started thinking about this. I had a weird moment. My wife's feet have been bothering her. The heel on the bottom of her foot was bothering her. And you know, we're regular people, so we have negative thought bubbles cross our mind. And we've been guilty of going on our computers and Googling symptoms, which I don't advise that at all. Don't do that. And so we've gotten to this mode where if she feels a symptom of something, I Google for her. So I'm like her filter. And so I Googled her symptoms, and then I came across this issue. Now, some of you have maybe experienced this issue, but there are these tendons that stretch from about the base of your heel all the way up to where your toes are. And these tendons kind of come over your arch. And sometimes if you wear the wrong shoe, or if you overextend yourself, if you're a runner, if you've done some things that really wore your feet out, that your heels will actually begin hurting because it's the tendons in the actual foot that have been stretched, and they're warning you. And so a lot of times she'll put her feet down after a while, and the tendons will stretch because they're inflamed. And so I'm like learning all this, and I start just geeking out, because like I was an animal science major in college, and I love biology and I love physiology. And I was like, Tara, and I just grabbed her foot. I'm like, I'm just tripping out right now. Like, in your foot right here, there are all these tendons and all of these just intricate details in this little foot. And I just started, she's like, you're weird right now. Just like, I just wanted you to help me here. Just pray over me or something. And the fact of the matter is, God created you. You're not an accident. You're not here by happenstance. God breathed, and you became alive. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget. And then it says, you belong to him. He says, you're mine. You're not some random creation. He says, you belong to me. You're my kids. You're my creation. Now, when you belong to God, that should make you really feel appreciative. That not only did God breathe you into existence, but he's saying, hey, you're mine. You're mine. And then it goes on to say, you're the sheep of his pasture. We talked about that in Psalm 23, where God is our good shepherd. Jesus is our good shepherd. And what that really tells us is that God cares for us. And so we're entering into God's house with thanksgiving. Why? Because we've been created by God. We belong to him, and he cares for us. And if that wasn't reason enough, check out what verse 4 and 5 says. And I love how the Message writes this out. It says, enter with the password, thank you. It says, make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. I love this. Enter with the password, thank you. If you really want to experience breakthrough in your life, then it starts by you entering into the presence of God by saying thank you. I love that. And then what verse 5 tells us is there's 3 more qualities of God. If those first 3 weren't enough, let's throw 3 more on. That God is sheer beauty. He's all generous in love. He is loyal always. That Hebrews, as we've been studying in our little morning Bible reading, it says in Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus is the complete, perfect image of God. That in Jesus, you find the sheer beauty of what God looks like. Think about how Jesus lived his life. Think about the compassion that Jesus continued to show to the people that would come to him with needs in their life. He never turned anybody away. There was a beauty on him that the book of Hebrews says is a reflection of the perfect image of God. If you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus. That's what the author of Hebrews is telling us. He's sheer beauty. You look at Jesus' life, he's sheer beauty. And he's all generous in love. Come on. Jesus came to this world so he could live this life, and so he could pay a debt that he didn't know that we owed, and he paid the debt so that we could be set free. He went to the cross and he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of sins that we've done that he didn't do, so that we could walk away forgiven and set free and live the life God always intended us to live. He took the penalty of our sin upon himself and he went to the cross. Now, you know you feel appreciative when somebody does something nice for you, but not all of us can relate to somebody that actually physically gave their life so that your life could be saved. Imagine tonight, you decided that you were going to walk across this highway here, this Brundage Lane, and you were just walking across, and some car was just flying, you didn't see him, and all of a sudden, this stranger comes out of nowhere and just pulls you out of harm's way, and in doing so, that person actually gets run over and dies. I mean, just think about this for a minute. You didn't know that person. That person just went out of their way and pushed you out of the way. You know, they had not done that, you would have been a victim in that car hitting you. Instead, the car hit them. I'm imagining for the rest of your life, you would just be in awe with what that stranger did for you. Let me tell you something. Your spirit without Jesus is dead, and he came to this world so he could breathe life back into that spirit that is dead so that you can live again. And the only reason he could put life back into you was to actually give his life up for you. That is all generous in love. And then it says he's loyal always. This is the part of God that probably we have the toughest time with, because when somebody does us wrong, we remember. I remember what you did to me last week. I remember what you did to me, you know, last year. And you know what? I don't know if I want to be friends with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to unfriend you right now on Facebook. I'm just tired of your drama, and save your drama for your mama. I'm just like, I don't need that anymore in my life, right? That's how we are. But we are so unfaithful to God. I mean, think this week, how many times you've been unfaithful to God? Probably a few times. I know for me, I can count a few times, maybe a lot. But no matter how unfaithful you are, he is always faithful back to you. He's always faithful back to you. So he's sheer beauty, all generous in love, and he's loyal even when you're unloyal back to him. Are you feeling a little bit more appreciative towards your relationship with your Creator tonight? I mean, this is what Psalm 100 is driving home for us. He's like, get a hold of this. Because the more you are showing appreciation to God, the more you are appreciating in your relationship with him. And the higher that you go in your relationship with him, the more he can accomplish through your life. This is why Colossians 4 verse 2, this is weaved throughout the entire Bible. Remember, I mentioned that over 250 plus times. And this is what it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it. With an attitude of what, church? With an attitude of thanksgiving. Have you ever felt like you could be praying more in your life? Or am I the only one? Like the Bible says to always be praying, but have you ever felt like, man, there's so many people that need prayer, and I need to remember to pray for all these people? But what Paul writes to the Colossian church is he says, hey, before you get into all of these issues going on in your life and in your family's life and in your coworkers' lives, just take a moment and pause and just come with an attitude of thanksgiving before anything else floods in and you just get overwhelmed with all of these things that need to be lifted up, that you need God to help you with and help partnering with your family on. Just take a moment. It doesn't have to be a long moment, but just remember to pray and say, God, thank you. Before I make these requests to you, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you've already done in my life. God, I want to say thank you for what you're currently doing in my life. God, I even want to say thank you for the things you're about ready to do for my life. I just want to say thank you before we get into all the other business. It sets the tone, because being grateful, I mean, accomplishes a lot and gives you a lot of benefits, but because of time, I only have time to give you my top three. Now, you can add to this list, you can add your own, but let me give you Pastor Jim's top three of the benefits of being more grateful in your life. Number one is it gives you a better attitude. How many need an attitude overhaul tonight? You just know you've had a half a dozen friends tell you, like, you got a bad attitude. You have somebody in your life that's pointing you out going, ah, he's talking about you, man. But if you want an attitude upgrade, there's no better way to get an attitude upgrade in your life than being more grateful. That's just the way it is. It's completely a part of this whole process of why God has woven it into his word. Because he knows that in a negative world, it's easy to lose sight of all the things that we should be joyful about. Matter of fact, I would say we're living in an age of grumbling and complaining. How many of you have been grumbly and complaining this week? How many maybe got on the 58 freeway tonight on your way to church and you found yourself complaining a little bit about the freeway? How many of you complained about something with your job this week? How many of you complained about something about your body this week? How many have you complained about a relationship in your life this week? See, we are so used to complaining, we have full conversations with one another, and it's all about, hey man, that's nothing. Let me tell you what happened wrong in my life this week. And we're like, we're one-upping each other about the things wrong with us. And we wonder why we are deep in depression. Matter of fact, let me tell you that the children of Israel, the chief thing that God had against the Israelites was the fact that they were always grumbling and complaining. He would do big time miracles. He would part the Red Sea. They walk across and Pharaoh and his army would be thrashed, and he made water come from rocks, and he would make food fall from heaven, and all of these things would happen. And then a day goes by and they'd be like, what have you done for us lately, God? Like, I know, yeah, the Red Sea, yeah, that was yesterday. Like, what are you doing today? Because it's hot and there's no water and there's no food. Like, we're better to go back and be slaves in Egypt. And then it's like, I don't want this wilderness. It kept them from the promised land. They were stuck in complaining, and they never made it to the promised land. A whole generation had to be basically taken out for a new generation to come up and say, hey, that ain't right, but I'm not saying a word, man. I know what happened to that last generation. As long as you're complaining, you're gonna stay remaining. All right? That's a heavy revy, all right? As long as you're complaining, you're gonna stay in a remaining state, that you're not gonna move forward, you're not gonna advance, you're not gonna see breakthrough, because God gives breakthrough to people that enter into his presence saying, thank you. So complaining is the opposite of what really God wants to accomplish in our life. He wants us to have better attitudes. And this is why Paul writes this in Thessalonians. He says, always be what, church? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. How many circumstances? All. It says, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It's God's will for you to be thankful and to be joyful. And to never stop praying. Some of you are like, what is God's will for my life? That's all I want to know. There it is. Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. I mean, let's go back to the 90s, right? I mean, there it is. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Be more grateful. And that, so here's the fun part. As you increase your ability to be thankful, you will increase your ability to stay joyful. If you want to walk with more joy, then you got to walk with more gratefulness in your heart towards the things that are in your life. And they're connected. So the more grateful, what's happening? You're focused on all the beautiful things that are right in your life. And so what's funny about this is, the Bible has been declaring this to us for thousands of years, and scientists are like studying, like,
What is the secret of happiness? Let's write this down. What? Yeah. Guess what science has found out? That when people are more grateful, they're happier people. Check this video out.
Did you know expressing gratitude is scientifically proven to make you happier? Here's the deal. Humans operate on what's called a hedonic treadmill. It means we generally stabilize at one level of happiness. Going to a party or going to the beach might perk you up for a minute, but generally your level of happiness stays constant, whether you spend a day at the park or at the doctor. Basically, we take the things that make us happy for granted, so they stop psyching us up. By practicing gratitude and constantly examining what you're thankful for and why, you stop ignoring what makes you happy. Essentially, being actively grateful will make you a happier person. But don't take my word for it. Dr. Robert Emmons, a psych professor at UC Davis and author of Thanks, The New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier, has been doing experiments on gratitude for more than a decade. For example, Dr. Emmons gave 300 people journals and divided these people into three groups. One group had to write daily lists of things that they were grateful for. Another group had to write daily lists of things that annoyed them. And the last group, well, they could write about whatever popped in and out of their minds. Batman, strawberries, whatever. Emmons found that people who wrote about things that they were grateful for had a much higher level of well-being than the other two groups. Not only that, they slept better and exercised more. Group A's simple act of writing down what they were thankful for seemed to kickstart their brains.
Why did it kickstart their brain? Because science did this experiment. Why? Because God created us to be grateful people. He wants us thinking about the things that we should be grateful for. So here's the second, the benefit that we want to talk about tonight is that is when you are grateful, you have more peace in your life. How many of you tonight could use some more peace in your life? How many of you watching online can use some more peace in your life? The Bible tells us this. Philippians chapter 4. It says, never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and requests while giving thanks. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. I mean, that's such a good word. And we could spend a whole series talking about worry, but that's not the focus of tonight. The focus of tonight is how being more grateful will actually shift your life. It will actually allow you to experience the life God has always wanted you to experience. You are to be walking on this earth with more peace as a follower of Jesus than somebody that doesn't know God, that is far from God. When the people that are far from God have more peace in their life than the children of God, something is wrong. Something is not right. And so you got to step back a little bit and say, why don't I have peace? And possibly it's you're entering into prayers going, oh God, I need help. Instead of saying, well, time out, God, before I do that, God, I just want to declare to you, man, I'm so grateful for all of these things that you've done, man. If you weren't in my life, who knows? I'd probably be dead. I'd be, you know, probably strung out on drugs. I probably would be divorced 3 or 4 times. God, because you're in my life, you have caused me to experience an amazing marriage and an amazing family. And Lord, you set me free from addiction. You got me into a place of healthiness spiritually. And God, what you're doing in my life now, what you're about ready to do, see, it shifts your entire spirit. You're not focused on all the things that are wrong. You're actually focused on all the things that are right. And when you're grateful and you start praising God for the things that are right, it immediately gives you more peace. Here's the third benefit, is when you are grateful, you actually gain a generous spirit. Now this is interesting, because studies have been done about this that show that people that are grateful are more willing to give donations of their money and their time in volunteering. And here's the reason why. There's an old song that says, count your blessings one by one. How many remember that song? You could Google it later, all right? But count your blessings. Like, when's the last time you took an inventory of all of these things that are in your life that you have? Because a lot of those things are constants and you don't even think about them anymore because they're always in your life. And a lot of times, because we're broken people, we start appreciating them after they've left our life. And in some cases, it's too late. But when you start just sitting down and intentionally saying, I'm going to do an inventory, a blessing inventory. I'm going to just sit down in a journal or in a piece of paper or on my little Excel spreadsheet on my computer. I'm going to list one by one all the things that I have in my life. See, I discovered something when I moved a couple of weeks ago. That I'm a hoarder, all right? I have kept way too many items. I still had my Blockbuster membership kit card. I mean, Blockbusters aren't even a thing now. It's like, why am I holding on to this thing? But see, when I went in and I began looking at all the stuff that I had, I was like overwhelmed. And immediately I was like, I don't even have room for all of this stuff that I have. Like, I've got to start giving it away. I've just got too much of this stuff. And I've got to find homes for it. I got to give stuff away. And forgive me, I posted something that I had a bed last week and somebody took the bed, but then other people thought they were going to get the bed. So I apologize. All right. I'll try to find a new bed for you. I was like, we have more stuff. I need to give it away. See, when you start counting your blessings, and you take a blessing inventory, you don't hold on so tightly to the things that you have in your life. You come to God with a lot more open hand because you're realizing that, man, God has given me a lot. I've got to share this with my friends. I got to share this with my church fam. I got to share this with my coworkers. I got to share this with the people that I love. It's when we don't realize the blessings that are already there that we get greedy with our lives. And we don't have a generous spirit. But if you want to be a person that just lives more generously with everything that you have, I'm telling you, the antidote is being grateful. Because when you start going down that inventory list of blessings, you're going to realize, like, wow, I can't believe I complain at all. Matter of fact, there's so much blessing. I need to share this with other people that don't have this in their life. And that's where maybe you start giving financially. You start volunteering your time more. You start engaging more relationships generously. Why? Because you realize how blessed you really are. And remember, God has blessed your life not so that you could be full of blessings. God has blessed your life so that you can be a blesser for other people in this world. He wants to use you as a blessing gift card to somebody else. I mean, that's how God operates. So with that said, we gotta kind of land the plane. We gotta get you guys home. But I wanna end with just this thought. Tonight, before you go to bed, I just want you to carve out maybe 5 minutes. I'm not asking for a lot of your time, but 5 minutes before you go to bed. And if you're here tonight with your family, maybe you do like a little family huddle before everyone scurries off to bed. And I want you to just take a piece of paper out. Maybe you have a thank you card at home. Maybe you just have a little card at home. And I want you to write out a thank you note to God. I know it sounds kind of silly. You're like, oh, thank you note to God. What am I supposed to throw it up in the air and God's going to get it? Like, no, it's not about like God receiving. God's receiving it as you're writing it. But I think for some of you, the clarity of writing out your appreciation for God is going to unlock something in your soul that you didn't even know was stuck. And I'm telling you, tonight, some of you are going to move to a whole new level in your relationship with God simply because you took a little bit of time and you appreciated God. And as you appreciated God, you appreciated your relationship with God. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you that we have such an amazing church family. God, I know that there are people here tonight that are far from you. And maybe they don't have anything to really go on to be appreciative of what you've done. God, I pray that you reveal who you are to them, God. That Jesus came to this world and he died for them. That he was that stranger that pushed him out of the way so the car wouldn't hit them. And that Jesus became a victim so that we can become victors. And if you're here tonight and you're far from God, you have not made that decision to follow Jesus in your life, I want to pray for you tonight. I'm telling you, my life was radically changed the moment I made a decision that I wasn't going to be in charge of my life anymore. I was going to let God be in charge. And in that moment, the Spirit of God entered into my soul and everything changed, including my attitude. And for some of you tonight, that's step one. And you know you need to make this decision. You know everything's on the line. Maybe you even came here and you've got broken relationships all around you because you know that inside you're a mess. Well, Jesus came to take that mess and make you whole again, to heal you from the inside out. But you got to make a step towards him tonight and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to surrender to you. I want you to take the control and I want you to lead me and I will follow. If you're here tonight and you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, would you just raise your hand right where you're sitting and just declare it with me? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm ready to make that decision tonight. Just raise it up, would you? Even at home, I can't see your hand, but God does. Just lift it up and say, God, I know I need to make this move. Pastor, pray for me too. So the hands that are going up, I want to pray with you. Would you just pray this simple prayer after me? The rest of the church, you can pray this prayer with us as well, even if you've already prayed this for yourself. But let's agree with these people that are making these decisions tonight to follow Jesus. Just pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me, for becoming the victim, so that I can become the victor. Send your Holy Spirit inside of me so that I can receive the help I need to live the life that you want me to live, including becoming more grateful for all the things that are right in my life and all the things that you've given me for my life. So tonight I give you everything and I say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, if you need prayer for whatever other reasons that maybe we didn't talk about tonight, you're just struggling, I've got a prayer team up here that would love to pray for you. Even if you're at home watching online, let us know how we can pray for you and we'll be sure to partner with you in prayer. But would you just high five your neighbor and say, I'm so thankful that you sat next to me tonight. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.